Begin the current Daven Sedek, let's get in Daven Samach Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Samach Gimel Mbeis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, topic of this parak, discussing specifically Shliach LeKabbalah, regarding a woman's ability to appoint an agent to receive her get from her husband. So the Mishnah says, Ha'isha Sha'amro Hiskaba Ligiti, if a woman tells to her Shliach, I want you to receive this get from my husband, meaning be Shliach LeKabbalah. And this is exactly what the Shliach claims he did. He claims, I went to your husband and I received the get for you. Says the Mishnah, Tzricha, so the woman has to bring in front of us, in front of the court, Shtei Kiti Edim, two groups of witnesses. Why? One group is Shnayim She'aymrim B'faneinu Amra. First of all, we need one set of witnesses to say that in front of us, we saw the woman tell this Shliach to receive the get for her, that he's a valid Shliach LeKabbalah, so that we know that his acceptance, which she never ended up getting the get, as we'll see, his acceptance of the get is considered as if she got it, because he was the Shliach LeKabbalah, so we need two witnesses to verify that fact. Moreover, v'shnayim she'aymrim b'faneinu kibul v'kara, we also need to have two witnesses who say, okay, not only do we know, A, that he was her Shliach LeKabbalah, and his receipt of that get would be like she received it, but also that we have two witnesses that saw that he received it, and then he tore up the get, which the Gemara is going to ask, why does he have to tear up the get? Why is that the case? Why doesn't he just give her the get, and we avoid this whole question, we see her having the get? Here, because she doesn't have the get, and it only went to him, and then he tore it up, question is, why is that necessary? But that's the case where he ended up tearing it up, so you need to have A, witnesses to verify that he was a Shliach LeKabbalah, and B, that he actually executed on his agency and received it from the husband. Says the Mishnah, even if they're the same two people, the two sets don't have to be four people, the same two people who say that we saw her tell him that you're the Shliach LeKabbalah could be the same two who said we also saw the husband giving him the get. Or as we continue on top of Samach Da'alam Adalaf, you could also do Oyechid Min Rishonim Be'echid Min Acharonim. You could have one person that saw her tell him she wants him to be a Shliach LeKabbalah, one person who saw that the husband gave him the get, the Echad, and the third person could combine with either one of them, and his Mitzdarfimon, he combines with them. So that's the way you could do it also, that this one person that was by both. So again, it doesn't have to be four people, it could be three, it could be two, but you have to have a set of witnesses on each one of these two characteristics of this halacha of seeing that she made him a Shliach LeKabbalah and that the husband gave him the get. Now, what will relate to the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings Itma the following discussion. This is talking about a case where the husband places the get that he wrote up for his wife in the hand of a third party. So the Gemara says, Baal Eimel Lepikadon, if the husband claims that, yeah, the get I gave you as a deposit, and that's why you're holding it, V'sholish Eimel Legerish, and that third party says, no, you gave it to me as to be the shliach for your wife to receive the get for her. And actually, she was divorced when I received it. That's why I have it. You didn't give it just a deposit. You actually gave it to me to be your wife's shliach, and now she's divorced. Which as Rashi explains the case that we're discussing over here, where the husband and the wife live in the same city, as we'll see the relevance of that. So the question is, Minaman, who do we believe? Do we believe him, that she's divorced? Or do we believe the husband, who says, no, you have no right to accept it from my wife, I gave it to you just to hold on to it. So it's a machlokes, Rav Huna Amar Baal Neman, and he says the husband's believed, and therefore she's not divorced. Rav Chisda Amar Shalosh Neman, and Rav Chisda says, no, the third party's believed, and therefore she's divorced, he was mekabelet as her shliach LeKabbalah. So the Gemara explains the reason for their machlokes. Rav Huna Amar Baal Neman, and he says the husbands believe, De'im Isa De'Legerushin Yahavan Eleir, because if it would be true like the third party's claiming, that he gave it to him to receive it for divorce purposes, well, L'didah Havayav La Nala, then he would have given it to her street. What does he need to give it to him for? And that's why Rashi explained the case of Tormat, that they both live in the same city. So why would I give it to you? I would have given it to her. Obviously, I'm giving it to you just to hold on. And that's where Rav Huna says that the husbands believe. Whereas Rav Chisda Amar, Shalish Neman, and he says, no, the third party's believed, because there's a reason here why we should believe him, because the husband himself believed him. When he gave him the get, he obviously trusts him, right? He could do whatever he wants with that get, and he could give it to the wife. So if you trust him, then we trust him. And therefore, since he's claiming you gave it to him as gerushin, so then we believe him. That's the chazaka that we rely on, the fact that the husband himself trusted him. Now, Master Rav Abba asks on the opinion of Rav Huna, for the following brisa, where Rav Huna claims that the shalish is not them and the husband is believed, the brisa says, "Haydais baldin kamei edim dami." This is a general halachic context, which is that the admission of a litigant, of one of the claimants, is like 100 witnesses. Meaning to say, if he says yes, So then we don't need any witnesses because he himself is admitting to that. But b'shalish nemen mishneim, a third party is more believed than even the admission of either one of the two litigants. Ketzad, what would the case be talking about? Let's say zeh or mekach v'zeh or mekach. Let's say one litigant says one way, another one says another way. Shalish neman, who do we believe? We believe the third party that refutes Rav Huna. He said in this situation, where the husband is saying that he didn't give him for gerushin, and the shalish, the third party, saying it was, Rav Huna says, we don't believe the third party. And yet the Braisa says clearly that we always believe the third party. So the Gemara says, no, shani maman, there the Braisa is different, because that's talking about monetary law. The isyahiv lemechila, that's talking about where you give money to that third party, where that's something that the original person who gave it to him as the deposit, if he wants to be meichel, if he wants to be forgiving, he could be meichel, he could transition in middle of that agency. In other words, the reason why we believe that third party is because, since obviously the one who's depositing with him trusts him and he gives him over to him, so he's agreeable and he's confident, whatever you're going to do with it, I'm okay with, because or else I wouldn't trust you. So therefore, if let's say you're going to do something with my money, let's say that I didn't originally agree to, and I'm actually disputing you, we will believe the shalish, because you trusted him and you believe in whatever he's going to do, whatever he's going to say. But by prohibitory law, there you don't have that logic to say that, oh, he has the capacity of trusting him, in other words, to change in mid-deposit and say, oh, it was for gerushin, that you can't. If you didn't give it to him for gerushin purposes, and you never fulfilled benasim yad, you never made him a shliach for gerushin, then although you trust him, yes, but if you gave it to him as deposit, not as gerushin, it doesn't make a difference if you trust him. You can't create change and transfer of law in that transition by trusting him. So there the halacha is going to be like Rav Huna says, we believe the husband, because or else he would have given it to the woman. By monies, yes, he trusts him, so therefore that could change in mid, because that's not related to a shliach of gerushin of iser. There, the transition could happen, and then we will trust the shalish to do as he sees fit, because obviously the one who's giving him the deposit gave him that full authority by trusting in him. Now, but the Gemara asks, how can you say that halacha there is only regarding to money? But Vatanya learned in the Braisa of Chen LeGitin that the same halacha applies to Gitin. So you see, it's not just, it's actually exactly regarding the halacha that Rav Huna is arguing on. So the Gemara says, no, Gite Mamin, it's a reference to, because the term get doesn't mean only a divorce document of a woman, it's a term of a shtar, a document is called a get. So it's Gite Mamin, it's documents of money. Yeah, there the same thing would be if a document is in the third party, that he can say what it was for, if it was given as a gift or it was given as just a deposit, then we trust him because that's money. But the Gemara asks, how can you say that Gitin means Gite Mamin, but Vatanya learned the rights of a chen l'shtaris, that the same thing applies to documents. So obviously the documents are a reference to monetary documents, and gitim have to mean gitei nashim, not gitei mamon. So the Gemara says, no. Midi gabe hadodi tanya, you think that these terms of these brises, when it says v'chein legitim and v'chein l'shtaris, where that they say it in the same brisa to say that, oh, from the fact that shtaris means shtari mamon, that must mean the first term of gitim must mean gitei nashim? No, these are two different tanoim. And they both are referring to the same concept of Gitei Mamon. Just one used the term Shtaris and one used the term Gitim, but they both refer to documents of money. But they would agree to Rav Huna possibly that when it comes to Gitin, actually then we don't trust the Shalish and we would go based on what the husband's saying. Now the Gemara actually asked on both opinions of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, Tanan from our Mishnah. We learned, Ha'isha Sha'amre Iskabali Gitti. If the woman says to the Shliach, go ahead and receive my get for me from my husband. So the halacha is tzricha shtei gitei edim. So she's going to need two sets of witnesses. First of all, shnayim shneim b'fneinu amr, two witnesses who say, we saw her tell him that he's her shliach l'kabbalah. And v'shnayim shneim b'fneinu kibul v'kara. And also two witnesses who say that in front of us, we saw him receive it from the husband and then he tore it up. Now the question is, v'amai, why do you need witnesses at all? Either by the receipt from the husband, or even when the woman tells him to be the shliach l'kabbalah. Why? Rather, lehemne l'shalish, you should believe the third party, the shliach, when he says, you should believe him, because everybody believes in him. In other words, even according to the opinions that said that you don't trust the third party, like Rav Huna, here he himself would agree that you trust the third party, because only there where the husband disputes him does he say you don't believe him. But when the husband doesn't dispute him, then we agree that we believe the shalish. And for sure, it's difficult according to Rav Nachman that says you always believe the third party, so you just believe the shliach. So why do you need Edim and Edim, just believe the third party, believe the shliach when he says that he was the shliach l'kabbalah and he received the get from the husband. So the Gemara says, no. the logic of that when you believe the third party doesn't apply in this case, in our Mishnah. Because Mika Nafe Gita Mituse Yade, is the get coming out from underneath his hand? In other words, is he holding the get in front of us to show us that he's holding this get, that the Lehemni, that we should believe him to be like the Shlich LeKabbalah? But the case that we're describing is that he ripped it up. Now, as Rashi explains, but he has the torn pieces in front of us, so we know that he received it, because even though it's torn, who gave it to him? Obviously, he got it and then he tore it up. So that Rashi explains that no, because the lumdis, the mechanics of how Shalish works, this third party that we believe him, is only if the third party job that he has is still there, is extant. In other words, it's based on the principle known as Mikui, that which means since. That is, if it were to be that what he's claiming, let's say you don't believe him, he could do it himself now anyway. In other words, if let's say he's holding the get, you don't believe me, I could go ahead and give it now. So therefore, we trust him even what he's saying. But the problem is here, where the get that he's holding is torn, he can't give her a torn get. So the only reason why we really believe the third party is because, of course we believe him, because he's holding the object. He could have done what he's claiming that's the truth. So even though he didn't do it, but we'll believe him. But here you don't have that mikui, because he can't give her a torn get. So we don't believe him either, that he had received it from the husband and then tore it. And that's why it's not going to work. Now the Gemara asks, Tenach Amra. That only takes care of one of the two halachas our Mishnah said regarding why we need two witnesses to say that they saw the woman tell this person that he's the Shlich LeKabbalah. Because that gives him the capacity as what we call the Shalish, to be the third party. That we believe him to say that he is the one who's receiving the get. But Kibbal Amali, why do we need witnesses to say that they saw the Shlich receive the get from the husband? But again, he's holding the torn get. He definitely received it from the husband. That we know for sure. Okay, you weren't sure that who said he's the Shlich LeKabbalah. The only way we said that we'll believe in the third party is because of Migur that, you don't believe I'm a Shlich LeKabbalah? I could go ahead and give her the get right now. I mean, I could have done it anyway. But we said that doesn't work when it's torn. Okay, the fact that it's torn, so we don't have that Migur. So you need two witnesses to say that they saw her making the Shlich LeKabbalah. So we know that that's what you are. But regarding the fact of receiving that other element, why do you need witnesses for? We know you for sure got it, because how are you holding on to it? Yeah, you tore it, but who cares? We know for sure you got it, and you were a Shlich LeKabbalah, because we have witnesses on that. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Hamani, you're right. Good question. Who's the town of our mission? It's Rebbe Lazahi. The Amar Edim Asir Karti. He says that a get is never kosher without witnesses who saw the husband give over the get to whoever's receiving it, to the Shlich or to the woman, and you always need it because it's the witnesses of the handover that create the creases of the get, and that's why you need witnesses for that. Now, the Gemara asks, but Kara Lumali, as we alluded to the question in the Mishnah, why is the case talking about that the Shlich tore it up? We said we need witnesses, you need Edim Mysterio Karate, so okay, you need witnesses to verify that he received it, but what about, what's the tearing all about? Why is he tearing the get? So Amaravi explains, it's Toma B'Shasa Gzereshon. We're talking about a time where the government decreed that the Jewish people are not allowed to fulfill mitzvahs. So you're doing a get, which is one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, and they're against that. The abolished Jews cannot do mitzvahs, so therefore you have to fulfill the mitzvah, but then you quickly tear it up that the evidence is not there. That's why it's told about that he tears it up, and again, therefore then it never gets to the hand of the woman, and that's why we need to have these witnesses to say that they saw him make a mishliach, and that he had received the get from the husband. Now the Gemara returns to this machlokes that we had introduced, again, related because of the question we were going to ask from the Mishnah, but now we go back to explain it. Amar Rabba. Umayda Rav Huna. Rabba says that Rav Huna, however, agrees, although he generally holds that we don't believe the third party, rather we're going to believe the husband, but he does agree, di'i amr ihi, that if the woman says, ledidi amr li shalish, that the third party told me, delegation yahavinale, that my husband had given it to him for divorce purposes, then mehemna. She's believed, and then she will be divorced by this disputed get that's in the hands of the third party. So the Gemara wonders, how could that be? Mi'ikimidi, is there such a thing? The shalish gufei loy mehemet. Rav Huna says, no, the third party himself in his dispute with the husband is not believed. As we said, because then the husband says, wait a minute, why would I have given it to you for Gerishna? I would have given it to her. So he's not believed. And therefore she's not divorced. And vi'ihi, and her, when she says in his name, then mehemet, then she is believed. What do you mean? She's only coming from what he says. But we don't believe him himself. So why would we believe her when she says that's what he told her? So El Rav, the Gemara explains what the halacha was. If she says, kamei didi Ligerichin Yahavinale. I saw, I was there. It was in front of me when my husband gave to this third party. For the purposes of Gerishin, then we will believe her. Why? Because she has a migri. Her we do believe. Migdi baya amra, since had she claimed and said, Lididaya havana le baal, that her husband had given it to her, then we would believe her because she has the get, and then she could say, I gave it to this third party, whatever it is that she says, that's why it's by him, because she had gotten it, and we would believe her, because what are you doing without it? Why doesn't the husband have it? We would believe her. So even if she says that, no, the husband actually didn't give it to me, but rather gave it to this third party, then she's going to be believed because she says that he had given it for the purposes of being gerushin. That's why in this case she would be believed, even according to Rav Huna. Now the Gemara continues the related discussion. If Baal Omer LeGerushin, if the husband says that I gave it to the third party, here it's where he agrees, he says I gave it to the third party to give to my wife for the purposes of divorce, and V'shalash Omer LeGerushin, and the third party also says, he agrees to the husband, says he gave it to me for divorce purposes. And V'hiyamer, she says yes, and they're all in agreement. She says, Nosanli, he gave it to me, the third party gave it to me for divorce purposes, but V'avad, I lost it. Now there's no get. Now we don't really know what happened, but everyone's agreeing that they had all done it for the purposes of divorce. Amr B'yechon, he says, Havadavah Sheba'er, this situation is an element related to relations with other men regarding an Eishes Ish. V'in Davah Sheba'er, Pachas Mishnayim. And regarding an Isser of Davah Sheba'er, we can't do it based on less than two witnesses. And therefore, since we don't have two witnesses verifying, I mean, the woman's not holding the get, she claims she lost it, but we don't have two witnesses who saw her, that this third party gave it to her for the purposes of Gerishin. So therefore, she's not divorced, although everyone's agreeing that they want her to be divorced, and he wrote it and gave it to him for divorce, and he claims he gave it to her, and she's claiming she got it. It doesn't make a difference. It's not going to work. Now, the Gemara won this, and it won this from all these different points. Vamai, but why? V'lehemnish l'shalish. You said we believe the third party. You said that if the husband's disputing, then maybe not, but everyone's in agreement. Everyone's agreeing to him, and he's claiming he gave it to her, so why don't you believe the third party? So the Gemara answers like we said before. Miko nafegita mitusa yadi d'lehemne. Is he holding the get underneath his hand, which would give him the power of authority of a migui to believe him? He's not. We don't believe him. He's just one person. You need Davar Sheba'er needs two people. When do we believe him? When he's holding the get. And he's making a claim. Then we could believe him. But in such a case where he's not holding it, it's lost. He claims he gave it to already. Then we don't believe him. The Gemara continues asking. He says, let's believe the husband. The Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ovan Amar B'yechanon, he says, Baal Sha'amah Gerasht Ishti Neman. And the husband says, I divorced my wife. He's believed, even though there's no get, no one knows him anything, he's believed. Why? As Rashi explains, also another term of a type of amigu is called malul shaker. Why should he lie? In other words, of course we believe him, because if he wants to, he could just write a new get and divorce her. So if he's saying he did it, there's no reason that we shouldn't believe him. So if we believe him and he's saying that he did it for divorce purposes, so what's the question? Why don't we believe her? Why do we need two witnesses? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Mikama Girashti? Did he say I divorced her? No. He said that I made a shliach lahilacha, this third party, to go ahead and give it to her. And that's all I did. I don't know if she ended up getting it. And since he doesn't know, so of course we're not going to hold that she's divorced. If he says he divorced, of course we'll believe him, but that's not what he's saying. Now, the Gemara continues asking and says, wait a second. Since the husband is believed to say that he gave it over to this person with the intention of giving it to his wife to divorce her, but then we have a different question. Then we should say that there's a presumption that the agent did what he was appointed to do, which if he did what he was appointed to do, means to say that he did give it to her, and that she did receive the get, and that means she is divorced, and that, yeah, maybe she lost it later. Because the Amar Bisri says, the man says to his shliach, he says, you know what, you have a good taste, go ahead and engage for me a woman. I want you to marry me off to a woman. Umei shluchai. The agent goes out. He's going. He's very busy taking care of his job, and he dies. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, "Osa b'chala nashim sheba oilim." This guy now is forbidden to marry any woman in the world. Why? Because any woman that he's going to want to marry now maybe is a relative of the woman that his shliach had engaged for him, and he doesn't know who it is because he never came back. Unless if the agent ends up coming back and says it's that woman that I gave you to. Or I didn't engage her to anyone, okay, then he knows what his limitations are and then he can marry everyone else. But now any woman might be the relative of that woman. Now, why? Because chazaka shlich eisa shlichus, because we have a presumption that if you tell a shlich to do something, he's going to do it. So we have to assume that he did get you engaged with someone, and now every woman is a suffix of being a relative, a sister, a mother, or whatever it is, to that woman. So therefore, if you say chazaka shlich eisa shlichus, and you believe the husband that he's made this guy a shlich, then we believe that the shlich, we presume that he did do it, and that he gave it to the woman. So why isn't she divorced? Why is Rabbi Yechon say that you need to have two witnesses? So Gemara continues on Amud Beis and says, no, hanimi l'chumra. Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha was only as a stringency. We'll assume that he did it as a chumrah to say, okay, now you can't marry anyone else. As a leniency, we don't presume that it was done, and therefore we can't assume that the shliach had given it to her, and therefore maybe it was never given, and that's why she's not considered divorced until we have two witnesses who verify. But the Gemara continues asking on now the third point. But let's believe her, midr of Amnuna. The Amr of Amnuna, Amnuna says, if a woman tells her husband, you divorced me, the halacha is nemena. She's believed. We don't have any get, we don't have any proof. We believe her. Why? There's a presumption, again, based on chazaka, we derive laws from that, that the presumption that a woman wouldn't have the audacity to tell her husband to his face, you divorced me, when he didn't. So therefore, we're going to believe her based on that. So if she's saying she got divorced, then we should believe her. So the Gemara says, no, hanami leheche deleka de kumasayla. When do we say that she wouldn't have a chutzpah to say that if no one's supporting her? No support, and just coming out of the blue saying, she wouldn't have the audacity. It must be she's telling the truth. Then we believe her. Aval hecha de mesayla, but when there's people supporting her with a husband saying, yes, I wanted a divorce, or the shliach saying, I gave it to, oh, people are supporting me, then I would have the chutzpah to say, even though I didn't end up getting it, then me'iza, me'iza, then she would have the audacity, and therefore then she does not have the migui, and therefore then we wouldn't believe her. And therefore all three points fail to create a belief to saying that this get was delivered to the woman, and that's why Birchanan said that in Davasheba Erva Pachas Mishnaim, until we have two witnesses who verify it, the woman is not going to be considered a valid gerishin. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnahs of Toma when a woman makes a shliach l'kabbalah. So the Mishnah tells us that a naira hamayrasa, that there's three stages basic to the development of a woman, which starts off a katana as a minor from 0 to 12, roughly, and then when she's 12 and she has two pubic hairs, from 12 to 12 and a half is when she's considered a naira, and then 12 and a half and up is she's considered a bageris. So regarding this status of a naira that's engaged, so she's engaged and she's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, the halacha says the mission is hiva avia. Her and her father, now this specifically has to be told about when she's only engaged, because if she was married, she would be already removed from her father's domain. And it has to be told about a naira, because again, if she's a bageris, she's also removed from her father's domain. So when she's this middle stage, where she's engaged and she's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, then her or her father, mekabel nasgita, could receive her get from her chassan, from her fiancé, from the one she's engaged to. Now, the reason is because she has a yad. It has to be menasim yad. You have to have the capacity of receiving a get. She has one because she's a gedayla. She's already over the age of 12. She already had her bas mitzvah. Now, her father could also receive it because the father has rights over his daughter when she's a katana and even through when she's a naira. Now, however, although the father has rights in her, she, as Rashi explained, she still has her own yad because she maintains the ability to receive it because she's a gedayla. For example, Rashi says if she'd be an orphan, she would be able to get herself married and she would also be able to receive her own get. So therefore here also, even though she's a naira and her father has rights and he could receive her get for her, but she could also receive her own get. Now, Amr Behud, he argues. Says no. You can't have two people having the capacity of being called biyada. Either the father's biyada or she's the biyada. Who's considered her primary receiver? So Ella, rather, he says avi mekablas get levad. No, the father is the only one that receives the get, and she cannot receive the get. And because he's considered biyada, he's the one that has the rights over her hand when she's a naira. Now the Mishnah concludes, any woman that can't properly, she doesn't have the mental capacity to safeguard her get, she doesn't have the capacity of being able to be divorced. She's considered on some level like a shaita, which you can't divorce such a woman. Now the Gemara asks, but my kemiflagi, what's the machlekes Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says regarding if both could receive it, the naira and the father, or only the father. So the Gemara says, Rabban Sabri, they hold, Yada Yisei Rasa Zachal Rachmana, the Torah had rewarded her an extra hand, where there is a discussion who's the extra hand. But let's say it was told that she gets the extra hand. I mean, up until now, the father was able to receive her get. father has the rights and his minor daughter to marry off and accept the divorce. When she becomes a Naira, now she's an adult. Now, up until she becomes a Begaris, the Torah added on another one. So there's a father who always had it, and he still maintains it, and also her. But Rabbi Yehuda Savi says, no, but Makom Avia, in the place of our father, Yadi lo lav kluma. You're right. In certain areas, when she becomes 12, she becomes an adult. But in contrast to our father's yad, we don't consider her yad as anything, and therefore we consider her totally in our father's domain, as long as she's a Naira, until she gets married. When she gets married, then she's totally removed from our father's domain. But here, where she was a Naira Hamayrasa, only engaged, the father still has rights over her, he receives the get, and not his daughter. Now, the next halach in the Mishnah was, if the woman cannot properly safeguard her get, then she's not, doesn't have the proper state of mind to be able to divorce such a woman. So Tanabon Ulina Braisa, Katana Hayadas Lishmas Gita Miskareshis. Like our Mishnah said, a minor who knows how to watch her get could be divorced. Vishain Yadalis Lishmas Gita in Miskareshis. But she doesn't know how to properly protect and safeguard her get. That's a symptom that she's not of sound of mind. And therefore, you cannot divorce such a woman. Because as the Gemara in Yevamos, Kofi Gimel Mbeza explains, the Pasuk says, Vishilcha Mibesa. He'll divorce his wife and he'll send her out of from his house. Which that teaches us, only a woman who, when you send her, she doesn't come back. You send her away. Where this woman, who's obviously not mentally all there, she's going to get sent away and she'll come right back. And therefore, as Rashi actually holds, that even if the father would receive it, it still wouldn't be an appropriate get. Because that, you can't divorce such a woman. It's not considered a shulchan basic because she's going to come right back. So if she doesn't even know how to watch a get that you give her, that's considered not a valid gerushin because it's not a shulchan basic. Now, says the Braisa, Ve'ezehi Kitana Yudas Lishmaskitas. What qualifies for a minor that knows how to safeguard or get that would be a valid gerushin? It's called Shemeshameres Gita B'Dava Achar. It's any woman that safeguards her get and something else. But the Gemara asks, Maikama, what does that mean? What does it mean she safeguards her get and something else? So, Amir Yechen, and it means, Hachikama, what the Braisa was saying was, Kol Shemeshameres Dava Achar Machmaskita. It's when she safeguards something else in place of, because of her get. In other words, if she loses her get, she's going to start safeguarding something else, which is no relevance at all to the get. And she thinks it's her get, and she'll watch, oh, this is my get, but it's nothing comparable to a get. Now, on that masculine of Hunabam Manoich, he asks on this, how could that be the qualification for being sane of mind to some extent, that you're not a shaita, and it is appropriate for Shulchan Mebesa, and you know how to be Lishmer Eskita, but a shaita Baalmihi, that's a mentally deranged person. Because there's no greater person that if you send away that will come right back more than a woman like that. Because as Rashi explains, what the Gemara is saying is that from the fact that it doesn't say that she safeguards a different document in place of her get, obviously this other thing that she's confusing with her get is not even a document. It's like something, some object, some toy, whatever. She's like, oh, my get. So how can you say that would be the interpretation and the qualification of Yedas Lishmas Kita? He says what it means, the Braisa was saying was called Shemav Chanas, Ben Gitel Davar Acha. Any woman that could differentiate between her get and something else, so that enough, that's already considered that she knows how to safeguard her get, she realizes the difference, and that would be a woman that would be considered a Shilcha Mebesai and wouldn't come back. Such a woman you could divorce. Now, continuing on this theme of our Mishnah regarding the receipt of a katana, of a minor, getting divorced, the Mishnah continues in a related theme about a minor creating kinyonim, about having acquisitions. So Amar Yehuda Amar Basi says, if they give to a minor a tsrar, a pebble, a rock, bizarre, and he throws it away, and then, but when they give him an egois, when they give him a nut, benoitla, he takes it, so he already has some das. So the halacha is zeich la'atzma, he can merit things for himself, meaning he could create kinyonim, But he cannot marry for other people. In other words, if let's say somebody else wants to give something to his friend through the minor, in other words, he gives the object to the minor and he says, oh, you know, merit this for this person, my friend, that person has not merited it. And hence what that means to say is if let's say the giver wants to retract, he can still retract because the child only has a certain limited amount of intelligence. So for himself, we say he could be zeich, but for other people, he cannot. Now, Chayfetz u'machzir l'achar shah, but let's say when they give an object to the minor, and when they ask it back from him at a later point in time, he gives it back, that already requires more higher development. So then, zeicha bein la'atzim bein la'achem. Then again, these are all rabbinic laws, because a katan only has kinyonim when he's an adult, meaning when he's not a katan anymore, But rabbinically, those are the two stages when he can understand the difference between a rock and a nut, then he could acquire for himself. When he understands even object relations, meaning to say that, you know, an hour ago you gave me something and he gives it back, then he can marry not just for himself, he can marry it even for other people. Now, however, says Rabbi Yehuda, who said this halacha over the name of Rabasi, he says, when I said this over in front of Shmuel, Amali, he said, no, it's not true. Davada, both of these takanas, achasi, they're the same. They're the same in one. They have the same halacha. So the Gemara asks, my davada achasi, what did Shmuel mean when he said they're the same? Is it that both he could be zeicha or both he cannot be zeicha? So Amrav Chizde, echad zeh ve'echad zeh, what he was saying was that both of them, zeicha la'atzmai ve'in zeicha l'achem, whether he has the intelligence of just throwing away a rock and taking a nut, or even if he has the intelligence of giving back something that he had from someone an hour later, he could still, that's only allowing him to merit for himself, but not to merit for other people. Now, Masav Rav Chinina Vardan. Rav Chinina, from the people of Vardina, which was the name of a place, asks from the following Mishnah Masechtas Eirvin. The Mishnah says, Ketzad Mishtatvin B'mavoy. How do you do what's called Shitufim Mavoyis? How do you have that all the courtyards that open up into this Mavoy, which is a larger area that opens up into the Rosh Hashanah, how could they all join together to consider it like one big chatzer that they could carry even in the Mavoy together? So the halacha of Shetuv and Mavoy is a Meneach as a Chavis, the one guy who was going to donate that everyone could just be considered they're all part of the same chatzer, the same area. He places the barrel, which has the wine inside of it, to be Shetuv, which is the word of like partner, of joining together, because generally Shetuv and Mavoy is done with a barrel of wine. So he puts the barrel down, and he says, Harezu l'chol b'nei ha-mavoy. I'm giving this to all the people that everyone should have a share in this, to all the people in this alleyway. And umezaklem, but he has to first merit it to them that they're considered having a share in it. So it's as if they all live here in this chatzer and we consider this whole mavi as one big chatzer and therefore they could all carry there. He's mezaket to them al yedei benoyu bitagdolim, either through his adult sons and daughters who they're considered their own independent people, so he can mezaket through them, or vayedei avdei v'shev chaser ivrim, or through his male or female Jewish servants. Now, the question is, Hai Shifcha Hechadami, this maidservant, what's the case talking about? As the Gemara explains, Ida Asya Shtei Saras, if she already brought two pubic hairs, meaning she's already turned 12 and she has two sires, well then my Baigabe. If she's an adult, what's she doing there? The halacha is that a Amma Avriya, a Jewish maidservant, goes free when she brings Simanim when she has two sires. Elolav, rather we must be told about who's this Jewish maidservant, is the La Asya Shtei Saras. She's still a minor. She has not yet brought the two sires to be an adult. And yet we see a minor could go ahead and merit this barrel of wine of Shetuv Mavoyis to all the other people. That's not like Shmuel. Shmuel said, no, a minor, this that we gave Kinyanim for a minor was only to acquire for themselves, but not for other people. Yet seemingly we have clearly in this Mishnah Masechtas Eirvin that this minor Jewish maidservant could be Zeicha for other people. So I think our answer is Shani Shetuv Mavoyis Dirabanan. That halacha, the Mishnah Masechtas Eirvin, is different, because the halacha of Shetuvim Mavoyis is a rabbinic law. Because biblically, there's no prohibition about carrying from one's house to one's courtyard to the Mavoy. The only problem is going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But going from your house to a chatzer, although it's shared by many people, it's not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Neither is the Mavoy Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the public domain, that's a problem. That's the biblical law. This is just rabbinic. So for rabbinics, yes, that we allow it to have the minor Amevriya be zeich for them. But generally, in regular kinyan, in biblical law, that we don't give any rights for the katan or katana to be zeicha l'achir. Now, Amrav Chizda, Rav Chizda commented and he said that Ishtik Vardoin, when Vardoin heard this response, he was silent and he didn't respond, meaning he had asked this question from this Mishnah. When they gave this answer, he didn't say anything. Now, the Gemara wonders, what are you saying that he was silent? What should he have said as if like he could have retorted and disputed that answer? So the Gemara says what he could have said is, "Kol d'takan rabbanan," whatever the rabbis institute, which is what the halacha of Iruv Chatzeris is and Shetuv Mavoyis is, as we continue the top of Samachim and Aleph, Kein d'arayis d'takan, they always instituted usually as the biblical framework, the rabbinics usually follow that same framework. So therefore, if you're saying that for biblical law, the katan cannot be zeicha v'achayrim, then similarly that should have been the same thing for the rabbinic law of Shetuv Mavoyis, that also katan can be zeicha v'achayrim. So that could have been a response he could have had to that teretz. But the Gemara says ve'idach. But what Rav Chizda would have said back is that no, ki amrinan called the talking rabban the kein derais the talking. When do we say that halachic concept of that whatever the rabbis do, they do exactly as the biblical law is, which should have been that a katan can't do what in derais he can't do. is b'milsa de islo ikim min ha-Torah. Is something that at least has a root, has the primary concept of this category, has a source in the Torah. The rabbis are just adding on. When they add on, they do exactly as the biblical law is. Avamilsa de leslo ikim min ha-Torah loy, but something that doesn't have any root, any source at all in the Torah, there they don't. In other words, here, a root, shetufim avayis, is a tikkun. It's doing something to allow you to carry into the mavay. That halachic, that rabbinic halacha of doing shetufim avayis is to correct what? The problem about carrying into the mavay. But that doesn't even have a sort, that's not even an isser at all, even in biblical law. The whole isser is rabbinic. So the tikkun is, that's being rabbinic, that's not going to be kain deraisa taka. If what they're being misakin, let's say, is related to a biblical law, then they would do it like the rest of the law, which you're right, a cotton cannot be according to Shmuel, zeichel acherim. But here, the whole halacha of Erevin is rabbinics in its problem, and then it's in its resolution. That rabbinics is not going to be the rest of talking, and that's why even had Vardan said something, that still wouldn't have been a problem, because here you don't say, kol the talking rabbanon, kain the rest of talking, there's no difficulty with the opinion of Shmuel.